Welcome to Quest Point in the Mix. I'm Richard Andrews, publisher. Today, I'd like to share a new series with you called A Green Renaissance, a series of updates on news, activity, analysis, and thought throughout the green movement and consciousness. It's called A Green Renaissance because of the time we're in now and the similarities to that of the Italian and French Renaissance, which was a cultural movement that profoundly affected European intellectual life in the early modern period. Beginning in Italy and spreading through the rest of Europe by the 16th century, its influence affected literature, philosophy, art, politics, science, religion, and other aspects of intellectual inquiry. And now, on to today's program. Earth, Easter Island, and the Doom of Humanity, written by Archel Daug, a history and philosophy instructor at Iligan Institute of Technology, Mindanao State University. In the beginning was a mystery, and the mystery was thought-provoking enough that some people felt that extraterrestrial beings created it. Many years ago, Dutch sailors noticed an isolated island in the middle of the dark Pacific. Headed by the navigator Jacob Rogiving, the explorers decided to land on what appeared to be an island of sand dunes. The Europeans, especially the Spaniards, were already exploring the New World and encountering strange sights. The Spanish viceroy of Peru already reported that the Incan capital was protected by high walls built by the devil himself. So, on April 5th, 1722, there was an eerie feeling sweeping over the Dutch sailors as they approached the strange land. If the Spaniards were horrified by the demonic walls of the Incas, the Dutch sailors were soon to find out the devil, while Europe was facing the demons of Christianity, may have been building his fortress across the American continent and towards the Pacific. As they drew nearer the island, they noticed large stone images floating over the dunes. We could not comprehend how it was possible that these people, who were devoid of thick, heavy timber or strong ropes, nevertheless had been able to erect such images, which were fully 30 feet high, wrote Rogiving in his journal. And then they discovered that it was not dunes that they were looking at, but barren hills devoid of forest and timbers. Thousands of stone images, extremely larger than the simple phallic monuments of Southeast Asia, dotted the bald island. The great mystery that struck all early visitors was not just that these colossal statues stood in such a tiny, remote corner of the world, but the stones seemed to have been put there without tackle, as if set down from the sky, said historian Ronald Wright, and added, "The figures stood there mockingly, defying common sense." And there was indeed a certain degree of common sense education that can be learned from these statues of the devil. But one may ponder as to what evil the statues caused, or was the devil a narcissist who had carved his face on thousands of stones? Rapa Nui, as the Polynesians called the island, was once well-watered and green, with rich volcanic soil supporting thick woods of Chilean wine palm, a fine timber that can grow as big as an oak. Around 500 CE, Wright explains, migrants to the Marquesas of the Gambiers arrived in big catamarans stocked with their usual range of crops and animals. Rapa Nui became a thriving society of around 10,000 people divided into nobles, priests, and commoners. But what catastrophe occurred in Rapa Nui that made the famous Captain James Cook, who visited the island later after the Dutch, wrote that nature had been exceedingly sparing of her favor of this spot? Just like other Polynesians, the inhabitants of Rapa Nui worshipped their ancestors through the erection of statues. It became a source of pride. The larger the statue, the larger the prestige. And as generation to generation, the urge of greater prestige increased. The statues too increased in size, dramatically demanding more timber, rope, and manpower. Trees were cut down faster than they could grow. The inhabitants were consuming the natural resources of the island like greedy piranhas swarming over their prey. But just like most things in this world, the perfection of an art also means the destruction of it. The saber-toothed cat once perfected the art of killing the mammoths that they hunted them down to the last one. The extinction of one prey also meant the extinction of the predator. And in the island's case, the greater the monuments became, the more they reached perfection, the greater the pace of the destruction of the environment. Man was the catastrophe in Rapa Nui. It is indeed chilling to hear when Wright wrote, "No more tree pollen is found on the annual layers of the crater lakes." Chaos took over as the contest for resources set in. There were skirmishes between families and tribes, and the Europeans heard tales of how the warrior class had taken power, how the island had convulsed with burning villages, gory battles, and cannibal feasts. The mini-civilization of the monuments, great houses, and large villages was pushed back to the early culture of the Cro-Magnons as their resources dwindled down to the last chickens they have kept. As the island's resources minimized the dead, seafoods could have been the only salvation. However, no timber meant no new boats. And as the last old boat faded away into oblivion, the people were doomed. Cook described them as small, lean, timid, and miserable. There is a very strong analogy between the island called Rapa Nui and the planet called Earth. The former was destroyed by man's insatiable nature, while the latter is being ravaged by man's incalculable cruelty. One can remember the brothers. Human beings are a disease in this planet. You are a plague. Environmentalists can argue that humanity must save the Earth, but one must remember that in the 99.9% of Earth's existence, it withstood the burning hell of gravitational pull, the sea of fire created by wicked storms, ice ages that can freeze even a refrigerator, the appetite of the dinosaurs, and the impact of thousands of asteroids. Earth has always had a period of rejuvenation. So there is no need to worry about Earth. It can handle itself. The question is, can humanity handle Earth handling itself? The answer is obvious enough that what happened in Rapa Nui was not just an omen. It is a warning by the Earth. You can worship a million gods beneath a billion souls of your ancestors, or you can roll them all into one. I do not care. When the time comes when I declare war on humans and the living things and the living species that damage me, no army of God will be powerful enough to stop me from changing myself. And the Earth is indeed dramatically changing. Temperatures have enormously risen since the beginning of modern civilization. Perhaps humanity may have pushed its experiment of civilization to its limits, always wanting to make the greatest statue. Like Rapa Nui, everything will have an end. Armageddon is not the coming of God on Earth. It is the day the Earth will reclaim everything it lost from the quick burst of human greed and human arrogance. Perhaps humanity should learn what it is doing is suicide. Religion made humanity blind to the fact that we came out of the Earth, children of its soil, natured by its air, given life by its resources. The time we place the gods and the goddesses on the pedestal of our consciousness was the time the Earth stood still. Time to relearn what was unlearned. Then maybe, just maybe, the story of what happened on Isla The Pascua Easter Island, also called Rapa Nui, may bring new life for humanity. We all have a stake in this, for we, the yoga instructors, accountants, stockbrokers, janitors, restaurateurs, and entrepreneurs, have the potential to lead this country to a new green renaissance of environmental, business, and social prosperity.
Oh, yeah.